Today being the 28th day of Ramadan, 1441 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, equivalent to 21st May, 2020 years after the era of Nabi Isa Alayhi Salam, our tafsir from the Faculty of Engineering Mosque, Ahmadu Bello University, Zara, continues from Ayat 66 in Surat Ankabut. Ustaz Abdulmumin Yakubu will be reciting the Holy Quran while Professor Abdullah Lukene will conduct the tafsir, inshallah. Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليكفروا بما آتيناهم وليتمتعوا فسوف يعلمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، ملك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناس الحق والحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. ليكفروا بما آتيناهم وليتمتعوا فسوف يعلمون. الله تبارك وتعالى was telling us that people, whenever they are in distress, and the distress has gotten to the utmost, their distress call is to none but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is particularly so when they are in a space where there are nobody in sight. They are at the mercy of nothing but the waves and the winds and the movement, like on the ship, on the sea, and in the aircraft, in the air. When they are there and there is turbulence or there is wave and they cannot see again, everybody resorts to calling Allah, Allah, Allah. But immediately Allah has delivered them to the ground, then they start assisting partners with Allah. لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ. All that we have given them now they go back and start denying Allah again. Let them go ahead and enjoy between themselves. For Sofa Alamun, soon they will know the truth and reality. Because here, people that are disbelievers, they enjoy their own comfort of one another. They try to support one another. And that to them is an enjoyment. But when the truth comes, they will know that it was not an enjoyment. You cannot deny favors given to you by your own creator and you believe that you will go get away with it just like that. No.
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا ويتخطف الناس من حولهم أفبالباطل يؤمنون وبنعمة الله يكفرون.
أولم يروا أنا جعلنا حرما آمنا ويتخطف الناس من حولهم أفبالباطل يؤمنون وبنعمة الله يكفرون. الله Tawaraka ta'ala continues and he says this: what is wrong with these people of Makkah, these Makkan people? Awalam yarau anna ja'alna haraman aminan. Do they not see that all the turmoils that are going on in the world, whatever it is, we make haram, Makkah, aminan, to be a peaceful place, a place where nobody comes to fight, a place where everybody is safe, secured? When they see that all the other towns, all the other cities surrounding Makkah, people are there in insecurity. Today, this one is taken. Tomorrow, this one is killed. This one is done. It's enslaved. All this they are seeing. But they in Makkah, they are in a secure place. Afabil batir yuminuna. Is it then that they are going to believe in batil? Batil is rubbish, something that is of no consequence. Wabidimatillahi yakfurun. And with the favors of Allah with them, they deny. Here at that time, the whole surrounding area of Makkah, all the tribes agree that Makkah is haram. Nobody should come there and fight. Everybody agrees. And the people of Makkah, therefore, had the greatest respect of everybody, because they are believed to be the ones that are involved in looking after the sanctuary. So this is how the Arabs look out at them. The Arab themselves, their land, the peninsula itself, is surrounded by desert, which itself is another security. People cannot just come outside, enter through the desert, and come to their land. So, but the Arabs, they fight one another, but they respected Makkah. Till today, let us look at it. The whole world, Muslims from all different tribes in the whole world, they go to Makkah to go and do what? For pilgrimage. Is that all? They also go for lesser pilgrimage. But when people go there for pilgrimage, why do they go there for pilgrimage? To fulfill the obligation that Allah has written on them. What of this lesser pilgrimage? To go and seek the bounties of Allah from Makkah. When people have problem, Muslims have problem, they run to Makkah to make supplications to Allah, to circumambulate the house, to make Safa between Safa and Marwa. They do all this and then ask Allah for their needs, and Allah grant them. A lot of people have solved their problem by just going to Makkah to perform Umrah. Some that have gone to Hajj repeats going to Hajj just because Allah wipes their sin away from them. Because man hajja walam yarfus walam yafsuk raja'a yawma waladat ummuhu. Whoever goes to Hajj without performing any obscenity, without performing, engaging in zina and all these things, he will return home like his mother gave birth to him. And the prayer of such a person is answered. This is how people are going. But look at the people themselves that are the custodians of the house. What do they do? Afabil batil yuminuna? They have faith in America. They have faith in Turkey. They have faith in Russia. They have faith in other towns to save them. Whereas everybody is coming to their town for. Allah is asking, Afabil batil yuminuna? These people, rubbish, complete rubbish, is what you have faith in. Wabinimatillahi akfurun. And look at the Kaaba Allah has given you, the safety Allah has given you. Everybody is coming to you. You deny all this. So when you look at it, sometimes you wonder, the human being, where does he put his intelligence when he starts to misbehave? Since they gave birth to you, you have been hearing that Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, built the Kaaba from its foundation that was originally built by the angels. You have been hearing that till today, there has never been war within Makkah. The Prophet that was permitted for some hours, even refused to shed blood in Makkah. That's how peaceful. That even if somebody was to kill your father and you meet him in Makkah, you're not allowed to touch him. If such a place as blessed, as sacred, is with you, you don't go there to pray for Allah to assist you with your needs. Then you start running to people that don't believe in Allah, people that when they go to toilet, they don't wash themselves, people that when they go to meet with women, they wear their trousers and start going about like that, people that don't even know the basic hygiene of washing themselves, they are the ones they are going to save you. Habba. people of Saudi Arabia, their government, they should learn lesson. Makkah haraman aminan. Makkah is a peaceful place that Allah has made sacred. A prayer that you say there in Makkah is worth more than 100,000 times what you say anywhere in the world. So don't live there going somewhere else to seek for security. The security in Makkah is the security that you can have and you can ever have. Don't they see that in any other places surrounding Makkah, look at any other city, there is always war. There is war today in Europe, there is war in Iraq, there is war in Russia, there is war in so many places. How many war have they ever seen inside Makkah? Is this all this not enough for them? Let them hold to the Quran. Let them hold to this Makkah and let them go back and resolve their issues with Allah. It's not by going to America, running to America, running to Russia that will save them. It will not save them.
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْكَافِرِينَ
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمَ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ قَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْكَافِرِينَ Allah is now asking a big question. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمَ Who is more unjust and more wicked? Than the one that fabricates lies against Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Aw kadhaba bil haqqi, or the one that denies the reality, the truth, lama ja'ah, when it came to him. This person, out of these two, tell me who is more wicked and who is more unjust. Nobody is more unjust and nobody is more wicked than these two people. Alaysa fi jahannama mathwan lil kafirin? Don't they know that in hell there is an abode for those that deny? Because for one to fabricate a lie against Allah is the worst that you can do in life. Fabricate a lie against Allah, or for one to deny the message of Allah, is also equivalent the same way. Because now everybody's listening to the Quran. Read it, you will know it's not man-made. If you deny it, you are like one that fabricates a lie to Allah, because whatever you are holding at that time is a fabrication. Anything you are holding that is other than Allah, Allah will show you that that thing cannot save you. Look at the amount of weapons the Saudi Arabians have acquired from Russia, from Europe, England, from United States, all those weapons, some have become obsolete. But if these billions, they used it in developing themselves, they will have been strong today. They will have also been able to assist all over the world, that this wealth will have gone and they will have been the strongest power today in the world. But they weakened, they looked outside instead of them to look inward to what Allah has given them. The same thing with a lot of us. The Quran is before us. We are asked to recite it day and night. We don't. We are not saying that we don't believe in it, but we are acting like we don't believe in it. Then we fabricate lies. What are the lies that we fabricate? You have a problem. You go to somebody weaker than you to assist you. A person who is worshipping idol is weaker than you already, because he does not believe in God. When you are to go to God, he will shy away because he knows that he's committing sin. But it is him you are running to assist you. That's a fabrication of lie. So all these people should remember. The one that fabricates lie is unjust and wicked to himself and to others. The one that denies the truth that came from Allah, Quran, and denies the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is unjust to himself and is wicked to himself and others. Is there no abode in paradise, in a hell, for those that deny, for those that fabricate? There is an abode there, that it will not be filled. Allah will have to fill it up Himself.
وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Tawaraka wa Ta'ala is concluding with this beautiful verse, this surah, Surah Al-Ankabut, the surah of the spider. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, and those that strive in us, لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we surely will guide them to the various paths that is that are our paths. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ, for sure, Allah, لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, is indeed with those that are excellent in their actions, excellent in their character, excellent in their belief. Here, at the beginning of the surah, Allah was telling us, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدْ لِنَفْسِهِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah was telling us, whoever strives for, he is striving only but for himself. Allah is wealthy to abandon the whole of the creation. He created the whole creation, alamin, for you, not for him. There's nothing he's doing with it. He created the whole of the creation for you. So ganiyu anil alamin. But if you look at it, there is a problem here that people are going to be confused. Lanahdiyannahum subulana, we shall guide them to our various paths. Subul is the path to Allah, not one. The path to Allah is one. Because the foundation to the path of Allah is La ilaha illallah. That is it. But how do you get there? There are several ways to get there. That's what Allah means by Subulana. If you look at it from the beginning of the creation to the end of the creation, every day, every minute, every second, a human being is giving birth to. This human being that is giving birth to, just like is giving birth to in a time that is different from the time of the others, his name is different from the name of others, his feature, natural feature, is different from the natural feature of the others. Even his fingerprint is different from the fingerprint of the others. This itself is a miracle. That from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, no two human beings have the same fingerprint. Allah. And your fingerprint is your guide back to Allah. Every human being has what will go conform with him, with Allah. That is why we don't see a human being and say, he must be exactly like you. This is big ignorance. The Prophet Sallallahu, he is the excellent of all human beings. Is 10 over 10. Every other person, no matter how much you get to, you can only become 9, like the Hausa people used to say. Human being, the best he can arrive at is 9. He can never get up to 10, except the Prophet. But why is this? For you to know that, identify the human being with his basic features. If you see a human being, look at his head, look at his hand, look at his leg, look at his walking. It's a human being, it's a human being. Don't say he must have your color. He must have your height. He must have your shape. He must have your name. These people today that came, that are sponsored by the West to destroy Islam, and are calling everybody, telling everybody they are doing bid'ah, this is where they were bought by the West. The part of the Prophet is one. Anybody who does not do exactly the way the Prophet does, that person is doing bid'ah. They say this. When you call them attention to something else, they say, no, this is not what we mean. This is what we mean. Because we all know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to ride camel. He used to pray on the ground. put his forehead on the earth. Is it today that we don't have the ground, that we are praying on carpets? Or is it today that, is it that at the time of the prophet there were no carpets? At that time, the prophet was praying like that to show his humility, and that the poorest of his time, that's what is available to them. Let them see it. Rain will fall in his mosque, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will beat him because the roof is palm front, is the leaves of date that will be used, that was used to roof the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, the house that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lodged in as a visitor when immediately he arrived in Medina, the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari is an upstairs building. Abu Ayyub moved up and the Prophet was staying downstairs. To the extent that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari told the Prophet, I'm not feeling comfortable to be sleeping on top of you. He said, no, we have more visitors coming. It's not good for them to be passing through you to come to us. So then, let us go back and say we are following the Sunnah. Let us all go back and be praying on the ground and roof our mosque with touches. Because which Sunnah is better than the obligatory of Salat? You just come and see people just doing zikr, you say it's bid'ah. Holding tisbah, you say it's bid'ah. Wearing dresses, you say it's bid'ah. Everybody is different. But what makes everybody a human being is his future. What makes a Muslim are these five things. Shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Iqam salat, salat five times daily prayer. Giving zakah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and going to Hajj. These are the basic features that if you see with any human being, masallah salatana, wastaqbala qiblatana, and you see him facing your qibla, saying your prayer like he pray, going to Hajj, this is the Muslim. Stop saying everything that does not conform with you that is bid'ah. Because you are not the standard in Islam. The Prophet that was made a standard was a standard that everybody aspires to. Not that if you are not like that, you have failed. No, you only aspire to him. You cannot be him. That's why Allah, who has everybody's fingerprint different, also design your path different. Some people are there. It's a little bit of fasting, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of reciting Quran, a little bit of giving out in charity that will take them to Allah. Some, it is no being excessively generous that will take them to Allah. Some, it is fasting, a lot of it, that will take them to paradise. Some, it is by standing up in the night all the time that will take them to paradise. Some, it is by reciting the Quran continuously that will take them to paradise. Some, it is by mixing with people, cheering people up. They learn a little from Allah. They come to people, they cheer people up. People are happy when they see them. That's what takes them to paradise. The path of Allah is so much that Sheikh Ibrahim Niyaz related from Abu Hamid al-Ghazali that At-turku ilallahi bi-adadil anfasil khalaik, that the path that goes to Allah is the number of it is equal to the number of lives that Allah has created. Each person is different before Allah. But the human being has the future of a human being. So, my friend, don't go because you want to wear this particular dress today. You see, whoever does not wear it is not doing sunnah. If you want to wear your beard the way the Prophet ﷺ used to wear his beard at this time, wear it. That's not what makes you a Muslim. What makes you a Muslim is your testification, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There are people who has more beard. Karl Marx had a lot of beard, he's not a Muslim. Don't say if you wear a trouser that is not getting to the ground is what makes you a Muslim. It's not what makes you a Muslim. People today wear boxers. Most of them are not Muslims. All this, let us be very careful. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِيْنَا لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We shall take them to the path that we have created for them. to make it easy for them. You find, they will find it easy going to get into Allah. That's why the Prophet left the Islam wide open. If you do this, you enter paradise. If you do this, you enter paradise. He will say, recite this zikr, you enter paradise. Fast like this, you enter paradise. Do this salah, you enter paradise. Give charity, you enter paradise. So, because at the end, you are going to be able to find where do you fit in, the one that conforms with you. That by the time you do it, it will lead you to paradise. The Prophet that was sent to us left these things very wide. Don't come and close it up on people. Wa inna Allaha lama al muhsinin. Allah said, Allah for sure is the ones that do excellent duties, have excellent character, have excellent belief. And in another place he said, inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al muhsinin. The mercy of Allah is close to the one that are excellent in characters, in belief, in work. So here, which means try to be excellent. And what is excellence? The Prophet ﷺ defined it. He said, Al-Ihsan, anta abudallaha ka'annaka tarahu. It's for you to worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. Which means what is demanded from you is muraqabah. Muraqabah is at all the time to know that inna rabbaka labil mirsad, that your Lord is there watching you. So anywhere you are, you put yourself in a state that Allah is watching you. When you do that, then you are surely going to find that you are in an excellent behavior, because it is difficult for you to know that Allah is watching you and you commit something else. Somebody may ask, we see a lot of people who suffer, who do all this. They say they are worshipping Allah, yet they were not properly guided. Why? Allah did not say, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا لَنَادِيَنَّهُمْ سُلَّنَا. No, he said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. فِينَا. Allah did not say, those that strive, will show them the path to us. He said, well, those that strive in us, which means you must be sincere in your strive. Your strive has to be for Allah, not for your association. Not to show people that you hate this group or you love that group. No, your strive has to be in Allah. Fad'ullaha mukhlisina lahuddina. Call unto Allah. Mukhlisan lahuddini. Sincerely unto Him. Put only Allah in your heart. Any other thing, take it away. Not any association. Not any group. Whatever you are doing, do it between you and Allah. Wallahi, you will find out that you will be going to the path of Allah easily and clearly. But any other thing, do not take it to Allah. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. In us, it is them that Allah said, لَنَادِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Our paths. Subul is plural of sabil. Sabil is a path. Subul, paths. So like we said, the path that will take you to Allah is as plenty as the creation itself. So the Prophet ﷺ has done a lot of work. Anyone that you find that you are conformed with, do it. Like some people, they find out that it is easy for them to fast. Monday, they fast. Thursday, they fast. Some people say, no, we can do more than that. Every other day we are fasting. And it's fine, it's easy for them. Let them keep to it. You find some people, if they don't eat from morning till afternoon, it's difficult for them. This Ramadan, it's with difficulty they are doing it, let alone voluntary prayers. And it's only with voluntary activities that you can get to excellent character. وَلَا يَزَالُ أَبْدِي يَتَخَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. It's only when you are doing voluntary worship that you can get to excellent of character and then become a saintly servant. So these people, choose the one that you know you can do. Some are rich people. Because they are rich people, they are always meeting with people, then they are generous. From that generosity is where Allah has opened the path for them. Look at Sayyidina Osman. Very generous. He will come into Medina with 60 camels, all fully loaded with foodstuff, everything, and said, every foodstuff on it and the camel, all is to be divided to people, for people of Medina. Today it's like coming to Zaria with 60 trailers, all with food, of various foods of Dangote, and said, all is a gift to people of Zaria. Look at that extent of generosity. But look at Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar, not that he's not generous, but he's not known for his generosity. He is rather known for his standing up for Muslims, to make sure that Muslims follow and do the correct thing. You cannot stay in your house during the time of obligatory prayer. You must come out. All of you cannot come in the mosque. This one is saying, this one is saying, this one is saying. There's as if it's commotion in one mosque. Have one imam. Yes, it's a voluntary prayer, but have one imam and say a tarawih. This Sayyidina Umar. His part is different. What of Sayyidina Abu Bakr? He hardly even talks. But the Prophet ﷺ said, the fate of Sayyidina Abu Bakr is more than the fate of every other Muslim put together. If the Prophet was to tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr, go inside the well with your head down, he will not ask why, he will start with his head going down. His own is strength of faith, that is his part. There are people today again that they are very strong in faith, but there is not much work that they do. Then there are people, look at Sayyidina Ali, knowledge, spiritual knowledge, zikr, advancement inside Allah. Look at him. He has no money and he's not bothered. No clothes, not bothered. The wife almost not in the house, is not bothered. When he has food, little food, he will still insist. He has to give to the poor, to give to the weak, to give to his neighbors. But always knowledge, thinking of Allah, contemplating on the Quran, getting more knowledge from Allah. That's it, Nali. To the extent that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ana ilmu wa aliyu babuha." I am the knowledge, and aliyu is the door of that knowledge. So you can see, these are the biggest leaders we have in Islam. Look at how their parts are different. Did you think that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have all these properties, all these qualities, but he had them? But each of them took the different ways. Sayyidina Osman will do witr, one rakah in the night, only one rakah. But in that one rakah, he will start from Fatiha, Baqarah, up to Nas, in one rakah. This is not karama. Sheikh Ibrahim Niyaz said, can any of us do that today? One rakah. But that's Sayyidina Osman, that's what Allah has given him. So everybody has his part to Allah. But the underlying foundation is that La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and you have to be sincere with sincerity and believe in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here, do what Allah asks us to do. Utlu ma huwa ilayka min al-kitab. Hold to the Quran and recite it. You shall have success. Allah will assist you. And this will introduce us to the next surah, where Allah will show you that always, forever, there is the party of Allah and there is the party of Satan. وَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And the party of Allah will always defeat. And he will give you example in the next surah how the parties of Allah will always defeat. So stay and be patient. أَلَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Like he just told us, on the part of Allah, you have to be patient and you have to rely on Allah. If you think that you are having any pain, in takunu ta'lamuna fa innahum ya'lamuna kama ta'lamuna wa tarjuna min Allah ma la yarjun. Allah said, if you are having pain, as you are having patience on the part of Allah, know that the unbelievers too, they have pain, they get pain, in where they are. But you are hoping to get paradise from Allah. They are not hoping anything. When Allah lama al muslimin, Allah is with those that are excellent in character, excellent in belief, excellent in ibadah. May Allah make us to have all these qualities and make us to be excellent in character, excellent in belief, excellent in our ibadah.
Surah Ar-Rum Makiyyah wa hiya 59 ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibatir Rum fi adna wahum بعد غلبهم سيغلبون.
سورة الروم مكية وهي 59 آية. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. الله تبارك وتعالى has started this surah and is calling it Surah Ar-Rum, is named after Rum. That is the town called Rum, or the people called Romans. This surah has 59 verses, and it was sent to the Prophet in Mecca. And the reason for bringing it, sending this surah to the Prophet, apart from what it contains in wisdom, is the immediate verse that starts this surah. The Prophet was in Mecca about the seventh year in Mecca when this surah was brought in. It starts like this. Alif Lam Mim. Allahu a'lam bi muradihi bi zalik. Allah knows best the meaning. But Alif there is an indication to Allah, Lam is an indication to Latif, Mim is an indication to Malik. These are names of Allah. Gulibati Rum. Rum has been defeated. Romans have been defeated. This surah came when Meccans heard that there was war between Persians and Romans, Eastern Roman at that time, that Byzantine Empire. Then the Romans were defeated. The Romans at that time were Christians, and they already knew that Najash, a Christian, is the one hosting Muslims. And Muslims have come to talk always of Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, as Christians and the Jews, and that they are related to one another by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So immediately they heard that the Romans were defeated by Persians, who are Magians, people that worship fire, and are pagans. The Meccans were very happy. They were delighted, which means that we are going to defeat Muhammad and his people. If paganism will defeat Christianity, we are going to defeat Muhammad and his people. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then, when this happened, this surah was revealed. Alif Lam Mim. Allah, this is his name. Gulibatir Rum. Romans have been defeated. Yes. Wahum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. Allah says, know this. Wahum min ba'di ghalabihim. After they have been overcome, sayaghlibun, they too will defeat and overcome the Persians. this statement is safe on its own is unthinkable. Because by the time that the Persians defeated the Byzantine Empire, they came as far as Jerusalem. They took what they call their true cross. They took it away. At that time, there was no more life. They installed their vice grants everywhere. No life that belongs to Christianity. How will they come back and defeat the Persians? And the Persians have so much army. Their army extends close to the Arabian Peninsula, the whole of Syria, the whole of Iraq, all it is for them. So the Meccans were jubilating. These people said they are people of God. Muslims, this new Muslim said these people are Muslim God, people of God. They say we are the kafir. Look, the kafir that we are, we have defeated them. That's how it is today in the world. When you hear that your own side have defeated in a war, as if it's your own. Look at in Nigeria here, somebody that has never been to Britain, he hears, is it Man U, they call them, Manchester, defeating ball, and he's happy. The same thing, they were very happy. But when this was said, nobody could believe it. Mm-hmm.
في بضع سنين
في بضع
سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون
في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون. When are they going to defeat? وهم من بعد قلبهم سيغلبون. The Prophet ﷺ continued his the surah as is revealed to him by Allah. Fi bidhi is-sinin, just in some years. Yes, between 3 years and 9 years. Lillahi al-amru min qablu wa min ba'du. Before the defeat of the Romans, after the defeat of the Romans, before the defeat of the Persians, after the defeat of the Persians, all affairs belong to Allah. But this is sure. For your amazing, Yafrahul Muminun. The day that the Persians will be defeated, a lot of happiness will come from different directions to Muslims that day. Yafrahul Muminun. Plenty of different things will come together that day that Muslims will be very happy. Immediately, this was said. Sayyidina Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, and that's his name, As-Siddiq. He was sure that the Persians will be defeated. There is no way, it's not intelligible to anybody that Heraclius is going to be able to, how? So quickly he went to the town, to Makkah, inside the town. And he was saying, he said, you people, you are happy, be jubilating. Surah has been revealed. Persians will be defeated. How? How? Are you in your dream? He said, no, just in a few years. He said, how many years? 3 years. They'll be defeated. 3 years, he said, yes. Then Ubayya bin Khalaf, this arch enemy of the Prophet, that used to tell the Prophet that he will kill the Prophet. He said, Abu Bakr, he said, yes, this is 10 camel. If you think you are telling the truth, put 10 camel down. We are betting. If it happens, you take my 10 camel. That time, gambling has not yet been banned. Quickly, as Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, my 10 camel is there. Also, your 10 camel should be there. Bet is assured. So he went back to the Prophet ﷺ. So this is what I went, and this is what Ubayya bin Khalaf, this was telling me. The Prophet ﷺ said, who told you 3 years? He said, Bidi Isnin. He said, what's the meaning of Bidi Isnin? Sayyidina Bakr was looking, he said, Bidi Isnin, Bid'ah, Sinin. If you say Bid'ah, Sinin in Arabic, it means between 3 and 9 years. So give him the 9 years. Allah was not exact. Since the minimum is 3 years, the maximum is 9 years, give him that 9 years. Go back to him. Ask him to increase in debating. You to increase in debating and increase in the time.
Hello.
So Sayyidina Abubakar went. He said, Ubayya, I said, yes, I have a better option now. I give you 9 years, but let's make it 100 camels. Ubayya said, 100 camels? I said, I'm there. Romans to defeat Persia, 100 camels, I'm there. Nine years is to soon come. So they give it. So not up to 3 years later or 4 years, the Prophet is to go on a hijrah to Medina. Ubayya quickly told Abu Bakr, said, I have heard that Muslims are going on hijrah to Medina. I don't want you to come and go to hijrah one day, you steal and go in the night. What will happen to my 100 camels after 9 years if the Romans are not defeated? The Romans did not defeat. He said, Abraman, my son, said, yes, hold him. The 100 camels he's going to give you. Hold him, said, yes. He held. So Abraman was his guarantee. They met us, said, now, Bakar, they went. When they went for Hijrah, then the war of Badr was fought. At the war of Uhud, Ubayya bin Khalaf came. And like he said, he has been feeding his horse, preparing his horse and his spear to kill the Prophet. Where is the Muhammad? If he lives, let him not leave. Shouting, until he saw the Prophet. The Sahaba said, let us deal with him. He said, no, leave him to me. Prophet just took spear from one of his companions, just aimed by the side of his neck, threw it. He didn't aim his neck, by the side of his neck, just threw it. He just made a small scratch on the neck, and he fell down. He didn't die. He was shouting, I have been killed. Muhammad has killed me. He ran back to his people. He said, where is the injury? He showed his neck. It's just a little injury. He said, the whole body said, this man has killed me. That's how he shouted until he died. Because nafhat, that's all prophets. They just need wind to kill. They don't need to hit you. So Ubayya bin Khalaf died. But the comment is there. But the time has not yet come. Then, as Allah will do it, the sixth year of Hijrah, they went to Hudaybiyah, and that Hudaybiyah pact was sealed. So when the Prophet was coming back from that Hudaybiyah, when Allah revealed, Inna fatahana laka fatahan mubinan, so there was happiness. What is the fatih here? Because the Prophet gave in a lot in Hudaybiyah treaty. From this year to the next 10 years, there will be no war. Prophet said, I agreed. You are not the Prophet of Allah. You are Muhammad. Prophet said, I agree. If any of your people, as from this year, run to us, we will hold him. I agree. If any of our people run to you, you must return him. I agree. All this. But Allah said, Inna fatahana laka fatan mubina. After this, returning back from Hudaybiyah, the sixth year, just before getting to the seventh year, there has to be the Battle of Khaybar. This Battle of Khaybar is a big precinct that has so much wealth, so much armory. And the Prophet went to that war and defeated in that war. So there was so much that the Prophet had. When the Prophet was inside that war, in the defeat of that war, then here are 70 people coming from Ethiopia, from Najash, that they should come and tell the Prophet that he has officially converted to Islam. And that they should bring the Prophet's wife to him, Ummu Habiba bint Abu Sufyan. And who was accompanying this bride to the Prophet? Jafar, his own cousin, that he has not seen for years. The Prophet was so happy. So, what this is my happiness today. Who will I tell? Look at Heber, just Hudaybiyah. Look at Najashi. Look at my bride. As in this happiness, they came to tell them that Heraclius have defeated the Persian Empire and has returned their, what they call their true cross, back to Palestine. So that defeat came. So the happiness was so much for Muslims that day. So first, he said, which one will I show my happiness? Is it that Allah said, min ba'di galbihim, sayaglibun, fi bid'i is-sinin, it has come true. Najashi has finally come officially to become Muslim. Umm Habiba, my wife that I married for several years, I've not seen now, has come to me. My cousin I've not seen for several times has come to me. Or is it the Haybar that Allah has opened for me? Or is it just now that I'm just coming from Hudaybiyah treaty? Look at Inna Fatana Laka Fata Mubina. All this, they came at one time. Well, you're amazing. Yafrahul Mu'minun. That day, Muslims will be so happy. Bi Nasrullah. For your amazing Yafrahul Mu'minun. That day, Muslims will be so happy. So this is what the verse is saying here. And that's how the Prophet was so happy. And just in the next 4 years, this was about the year 629. If you go back to the history, to read the history of the Romans and the Byzantine Empire, you will find that this exactly happened at the year 629, which conforms to the time of the part of Heber and the time that these people were sent from by Najashi to Prophet Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam. وهو العزيز الرحيم
بنصر الله ينصر من يشاء وهو العزيز الرحيم بنصر الله Allah by his own assistance بنصر الله by his assistance of Allah ينصر من يشاء does he assist those that he wishes وهو العزيز الرحيم Allah is mighty, is almighty, Ar-Rahim and all merciful. Allah will take you the course of a very difficult path, but gently, gently until you get to success. You yourself, you don't know how you get there. If you are asked, how did you become big to this level? You cannot say it. Gently, gently, gently. You can see the time that the Persians defeated the Romans, how they are going to defeat back, nobody knew. But Allah promised Muslims, we will make you to be happy. But don't think that the defeat, that is the end. Always it's like that. In your life, you will find sometimes you're not, you know, you are faced with obstructions, with obstacles. But if you have patience, you will defeat. So always Allah will assist those that have patience and stay with Allah and for them to succeed. So may Allah grant us success in our lives. May Allah grant us His assistance in all that we do. May Allah give us His own assistance. This is where we'll end our tafsir this year, inshallah, asking Allah for His assistance. Then people ask questions. We'll take one of the questions. The first one.
Somebody wants to know the Islamic injunction on taking loans.
The Islamic injunction on taking loans. Taking loan in Islam is halal, because when you want to go into a business, you can take loan. That's to take a debt. When you have nothing in your house and you want food, you can take loan. To the extent that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person that gives gift, Allah will reward him in tenfold. But the one that gives loan, Allah will reward him in 18-fold. Because the one that gives you loan gave you when you are in dire need of it. So giving loan is, there's nothing wrong in taking loan. But if you take loan Do you take it with interest or not interest? This is where the question lies. Interest is usury, and this is haram. When you are taking loan and they said you have to pay usury, ordinarily you should not accept. But if you have no choice and you have looked everywhere, you have no choice, then take it. Allah knows that you are faced without any choice. But know that what you are taking, what you are giving to the people, this usury is haram. Don't say it's halal, it's not halal. But you that have money and you are giving it to loan on people and you are taking usury, your own, you have no reason. You have the money already. If you are afraid that if you give the loan, you will not be able to do business with it, then whatever the person is going to use it for, enter that business with him. But for you to give loan and say people must give you usury or interest, whether it is bank interest or whatever, is haram. But if you have no choice, you that you are in need of loan, take it. This is why some people, again, they keep their money. If they keep their money in the bank, then the issue arises. The interest that is granted to them, what do they do with it? Because you cannot keep your money in the house. If you have ₦1 million, for example, you keep it in the house, and a thief knows that you have ₦1 million in the house, be sure you have a visitor in the night. But since you can't keep it in the house, where do you keep it? In the bank. There are banks that if immediately you keep money there, they will give you interest on it. If you know you are going to keep the money for long, and you keep it in fixed deposit for that amount, there is no problem. Because you keep it in fixed deposit, you don't keep it in fixed deposit, your money would be used by the bank to give loan to people, because it is built on usury system, on the haram system of the Jews. So there's nothing you can do about it. But when you get that interest, don't use it. Give it out to either the downtrodden or the poor people, and don't expect reward from Allah from it. Don't give it out saying, I will be rewarded for it. Mm-mm. Say, Allah, this is usury. I will not take usury, but I can't give it back to people that are the ones organizing usury. I will give it out to people. Allah, make it halal for them. But don't expect anything back from Allah with it. Because all this money that Muslims have in the bank today, a lot of interest goes with it. So take it and give it out to build roads, to build distance without expecting anything from it. Allah knows your heart. This is what I would say about it. May Allah grant us success to see a day where we have an Islamic government, or a government that will respect that the best form of trade is a trade where there are no financial interest. People can pay for their labor, but how do you charge somebody who is indigent? He has no money, he's suffering, and he's asking for a debt. And then you said you want to put more debt on him. And this is where the government of Nigeria should be sensible and think, why is Nigeria charging people up to 20-something percent interest? Why can't Nigeria even waive all the interest? Because most of the money that is given as loan to people in Nigeria, over 80% of it is government money. If the government was to waive its own interest, and people are giving this loan as they are still given now without interest at all, is there any fault in it? May Allah assist all of us. May Allah make us to witness another Ramadan. May Allah grant us success in this world, and grant us success in this in the hereafter. May Allah give us the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. May Allah bless us with seeing the Prophet in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah forgive our parents. May He forgive all our relatives. May He forgive all our followers. May He forgive all our friends. May He reward the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May He reward the ulama. May He strengthen Islam and strengthen Muslims. May Allah bring peace to our country. May Allah deliver us from all these diseases that are going about. All this COVID, may Allah deliver us from it. May Allah not allow it to enter our country. Jaya Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All the fasting that we have done, may Allah accept it.
Amen.
All the mistakes that we have made, may Allah forgive it.
Amen.
All the requests that we requested from Allah, may Allah accept it.
Amen.
All the protection we are needing from Allah, may Allah give it to us.
Amen.
May Allah guide our leaders aright.
Amen.
May Allah guide our leaders aright.
Amen.
May Allah strengthen our leaders to do the correct thing. Jaya Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah take us to next year to witness another Ramadan.
Amen.
And take us to be better than we are.
Amen.
All that we have studied in this Ramadan, may Allah make us to be able to work with it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever learns and work with what he learns, Allah will give him knowledge of what he never knew. May Allah make us to work with what we have learned and give us more knowledge that we never thought about. Jail Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق الحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره مقدار العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين